Browns, and also now the current GM of the Arizona Hotshots of the AAF. Phil, how are you?
Good afternoon, guys. I hope you're doing well. Thank you.
I'm good. Arnie's good, too, but I'm a little bit confused about what the Giants are doing exactly. And breaking news maybe to you, the Giants just signed Golden Tate to a four-year deal. We'll ask you about that in a second. But what was your reaction to the Odell Beckham Jr. trade, first and foremost?
Well, I think, first of all, if you compare it in some ways to what happened in Pittsburgh with Antonio Brown, the Steelers fetched a 3 and a 5 for an older player who was coming towards the end of his deal, whereas in this case they did get a 1, they got a 3, they got a player in Jabril Peppers who's probably somewhat of a knockoff version, if you want to put it that way, in replacement of Landon Collins.
Yep.
But you know, the way I see it, quite honestly, is I think that the Giants have reluctantly come to the conclusion that the window is essentially about to close on them in terms of the Eli Manning era. So I think they're trying to build some assets for the future. I think this will be, my personal opinion is this will be Eli's last year. They'll draft a quarterback with one of those first two first rounders. And they'll get ready for 2020 and beyond. But, you know, I think that one of the most difficult things as a GM in the NFL is to be honest with where your team is and you know, where it's going to be. And for Cleveland, they feel like their window is just opening up. So they're swinging for the fences with Odell Beckham Jr. and, you know, other high-profile players because they feel good about their young quarterback. Whereas with the Giants, I think they've come to the realization that it's time to move on and build for the future. And also, I think that the dynamic between Odell and the coaching staff and maybe the ownership really changed over the last 6 months. And you know, one thing, and I'm talking too much here, but what I would say about the GM position is oftentimes, your name is on these moves. It's on your record as the GM, but there are at least 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe a half dozen other voices that are in those meetings when you're trying to decide, are we going to move on from Odell Beckham Jr. or are we going to keep him around?
You know, one thing about that, Phil, and I'm a Giant fan, so I'm like, I think it's good because I think Golden Tate will actually have more catches and more yards than Odell Beckham Jr. because I think Odell gets hurt a lot. But I guess the question here, though, is, you know, when you're taking a look at both teams, and you're saying to the Giant fans, you know, it's over before the season even starts. I didn't mind being bad, but if we were going to be bad, let's really be the worst so we can get Tua from Alabama. That's who I wanted, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting scenario. Anytime you jump into free agency and the new league year starts, I mean, you know, the teams that aren't active, it feels as if, okay, they're falling behind, and the teams that are really aggressive, it feels like that, you know, they've made some big moves and all of a sudden they're going to be ahead of everybody else. And the truth of it is, you know, playoffs and Super Bowls are not won in March. I've lived through it myself in 2007 coming off the Browns' 10-win season. We had a big splash in free agency in 2008, and it amounted to 4 wins the following year. So you just never know. Their injuries are always a factor. And I think, look, if you're a true Giants fan, you're going to hang with them through thick and thin. It's going to be thin probably this year, but the fact remains is that they do have some assets to figure out this quarterback situation now. Now, there are people that, with hindsight, that'll go back to last year's draft and say, well, why didn't they take one of those quarterbacks? They're all better than this year's crop. You know, we don't know that yet, quite frankly. And I think that, you know, at that point, they were probably still attached to thinking that, hey, we're a player or two or running back away from being a playoff team again. And that didn't work out that way. And again, you know, people change their minds. I mean, it could be ownership. It could be the coaching staff that soured on Odell Beckham Jr. But right now, Dave Gettleman is the guy that's catching all the heat.
Phil, yesterday, all of our listeners told us that they were in favor of the Giants rebuilding. They were okay with getting those assets. They were okay with being bad potentially and setting themselves up with better draft picks for the future. Now they go out and get Golden Tate. And maybe they're not going to be 2-14. Maybe they're going to be 4-12, and they're going to play themselves out of one of those top couple picks. So it just feels like mixed messaging to me here. Are we playing for the future, or are we still half in each side of the pool?
Well, with that signing, it certainly feels like you know, there's still a toe in the water of trying to be as good as you can, which I think they are anyway.
Yeah.
You know, trying to do the best they can. But I don't think that they've gone, you know, fully committed yet to saying, you know what, we're going to go down this elevator shaft and hit bottom before we can push off and come up to the top. And that's a hard thing to do. I'm honestly a little surprised. You know, with the Eagles, look at that. They traded a third-round pick for Golden Tate midway through the season. They don't get anything for him, and he opts to go stay in the division. But they must have sold him at least on the idea that, look, you're going to be a major contributor to our offense, because, you know, it doesn't appear right now, because it's so uncertain as to who the quarterback's going to be in the future, that a receiver would be, you know, ready, willing, and able to go there. And so that's a bit of a surprise, that one out of kind of left field. I would not have anticipated a Tate ending up there, but that's what's happened today.
What do you think about the some of the quarterbacks that are out there? I mean, of course, everybody talking about Murray, who will be the number one pick maybe to Arizona. Does that mean Rosen's going to be gone, and where does he end up? Could that be a good fit for the New York Giants? I heard rumors about him coming to the Patriots, but I don't see how that's a fit. What do you think about Haskins? And then, of course, in the future, you have two, and then you got Lawrence from Clemson in 2 years.
Yeah, it's this quarterback carousel, it starts spinning, and you never know where it's going to stop. But, it does seem like Arizona, of course, that's where I am here with the Hot Shots, so we're getting a lot of coverage about Kyler Murray coming to the desert with Cliff Kingsbury as the head coach. And if that's the case, you know, on one hand, I would say, listen, you know, because Josh Rosen's on a rookie deal, you could easily keep him as somewhat of an insurance policy, because you're talking about drafting an undersized quarterback that's played 1 year of major college football. But at the same time, if Rosen makes it so awkward and so uncomfortable for a first pick of the draft to come in and take this job, then maybe they would trade him for pennies on the dollar. And I don't think right now that the Cardinals could fetch more than about a third-round pick, I would say on the high side, for Josh Rosen. And so that's why, in some ways, I would advocate keeping him, because if you can play him in preseason, and if something happened to Kyler Murray, he had to play two or three games, if he plays good enough, we know that guys that go in as backups and play well for a couple games, I mean, the next thing you know, they're getting $88 million out on the open market, like Nick Foles did, you know, who really was very average when he was a previous starter in the league prior to these last 2 years. So, you know, I think that the more prescient idea to me for the Giants would be to take one of these rookies, whether it's Dwayne Haskins or Daniel Jones or whoever it is that they like, and have them, you know, serve as an understudy for a half a season or a year under Eli. I don't think there'd be any harm in that. And I think to just get adjusted and acclimated to pro football under a guy that's been under center for a long time could be a real benefit to any of the quarterbacks that are in this draft. I'm not sure that any of these guys are truly ready to step in and play. So to me, they need the incubation time, and the Giants would have that ability to offer that for this 2019 season.
Phil Savage, former NFL GM with the Cleveland Browns, current GM in the AAF with the Arizona Hotshots, here with us on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. I want to ask you a couple of questions about some, I don't know, uncomfortable to navigate situations for the GM. How do you handle Eli Manning if you're Dave Gettleman? Franchise legend who, look, he's not great, he's not horrible, but he's certainly not the future.
Yeah, I think it's just a situation where you have to be very open and upfront. I mean, this is where ownership comes into play as well. It's certainly not just one message from an individual, Dave Gettleman. I think it's got to be, you know, on point, coming from ownership, from the GM, from the head coach, and you lay out what the plan is. And, you know, that's the way it's going to be. You know, remember, this marriage started at the beginning with the Mannings basically saying, hey, he's not going to San Diego to play for the Chargers. And so I think they've been there long enough in terms of dealing with each other that this would be, I can't imagine it being an issue or a problem because of the success that, you know, two Super Bowls, regardless of what's happened between those wins or what's happened since then, Eli always be remembered as a two-time championship quarterback.
How about the Patriots as we move over there? How do you handle this with Gronk. We don't know what Gronk wants to do. Is he going to retire? Is he going to come back? How do you handle this as the GM? Do you give him a deadline and say, hey, either way, I need to know, or does he, can he just drag this out as long as he wants to?
You know, I think that in this case, because of the value that he brings, you could see where they will just allow this to develop sort of organically over the spring and into the summer. I don't think that, you know, there will be deadlines imposed on a player of his caliber. But again, now in that situation, that very well could be a one-on-one conversation between Bill Belichick and Rob Gronkowski with nobody else involved, because we know how airtight they are in terms of having information out in the public format. So with that being said, this one would be somewhat different than an Eli Manning situation, because, you know, you're, again, I think ownership is much more involved with a quarterback than a position player. But nevertheless, you know, with New England, you know, people, going back to Josh Rosen for a moment, people have said maybe he would go there. And look, I think if I'm Josh Rosen and his agent, if somehow or another I got traded to New England, I would raise my hand and volunteer for that, because now you get a chance to be in that quarterback room with Tom Brady, settle down for a year, and serve as an understudy to Brady for maybe a year, maybe it's a couple years. But I think it would help in the maturity of Josh Rosen and really be a living, breathing example of what you're supposed to be as an NFL quarterback. And, you know, you think about Rosen through his career at UCLA, the cart has always been ahead of the horse with him in college, and then, of course, this past year with the Cardinals. I mean, he was out on the field sometimes with a half a dozen other rookies. It was a fiasco. They had an interim offensive coordinator, first-time head coach. I mean, it was a very difficult situation. So I would think that absolutely would be one of the teams that would be on a trade possibility list for Arizona.
Phil, when do you know when to cut the cord? I mean, when did the Giants say, okay, enough of Odell? When did Pittsburgh say, okay, enough of Antonio Brown, even though he facilitated a trade? When do you know enough is enough, when the guy is a superior talent, he's a fan favorite, but you just can't deal with his antics anymore?
Yeah, I think with, you know, Pittsburgh, obviously this went far beyond the line, so to speak. I mean, because he very publicly campaign to get out of there via social media and interviews and everything else. I don't know that Odell was to that point yet, but I do think that, watching from the outside at least, that the Giants were fearful that with Antonio Brown showing sort of a roadmap of how to get yourself out of town, that Odell might try to do the same thing. And as time went along, you know, you lose some of that leverage. I mean, look at Pittsburgh ended up in a scenario where they virtually had no trade partners, and, you know, they salvaged a 3 and a 5 for maybe the most prolific receiver in the league over the last half dozen years. So it can tank on you very fast if it goes beyond the pale, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I would say that the Giants in this case, look, they wanted to give it a shot. They signed him to the extension and all that. They had basically a new coach in Pat Shurmur. And I'm just assuming that, you know, everything, hey, we're going to give him an opportunity we want to work with him, et cetera, et cetera. And it just did not go as well. And the other thing is, too, and you mentioned this, the durability has been an issue. I mean, he's had one season of 16 games participating. And so, you know, that's probably part of it as well. And they tried to get out of it sooner rather than later and try to salvage something. And you know, they're getting crushed right now, but they still got a 1 and a 3 and a starting safety. So if they could turn those two picks into two players, two legitimate players, and one's a quarterback and another's maybe a pass rusher, then, you know, you would say that a quarterback and a pass rusher are more valuable than a wide receiver who's the last link in the offensive chain, so to speak.
Yep. Phil, we'll get you out of here on this. You're working in the AAF right now, GM of the Arizona Hotshots. I watched a number of the games in the first couple of weeks and more sporadically since then. How are you feeling about the league as a whole right now?
You know, I would say that that the league has been more impressive and has exceeded my expectations. I think there's been a lot of positive reviews, especially the television coverage has, you know, been presented in such a way that people feel like they're watching pro football, at least at some level. I think our teams overall, unfortunately my team, we've kind of found ourselves in a little bit of a funk here the last few weeks, but I think the teams overall have all improved. I really do. Based upon where we started in San Antonio for the 4 weeks of training camp versus where we are right now as a league, I think the competition has definitely increased. Some of the teams I didn't think would be very good in Texas, and some of them have actually turned out to be much better than anticipated. So I think it's a niche league. It's going to find its role in conjunction with the NFL. None of that is formalized, but I do think that there's a real good chance that in the future we'll see some of those players that are on the bottom end of the NFL rosters, the futures contract guys, the practice squad level players. I do think that one day we'll see those guys in this league getting some valuable play time that they simply just cannot get during a regular NFL season.
He's Phil Savage, former NFL GM with the Browns, and of course, current GM with the Arizona Hotshots of the AAF. Phil, thanks a lot. It was a pleasure, my friend. We'll have to do it again.
Guys, I appreciate the time. Have a great weekend, and go Shots!